The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
But in my mid-20s, I got to the point literally where I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror. I mean, I shaved and I did everything in the dark because I couldn't look at the man that I was at that particular time.
Wide receiver Tim Brown describes how Christ changed his life and led him to his wife, Charisse.
You could tell she was a really nice girl, right?
She was a really nice girl, but I'd say, look, hey, if I'd have met you 2 weeks prior, we would have had a different game going on here. You know,
this would have been... No, we wouldn't have. No, we wouldn't have.
Next.
Thank you so much for joining us on Life Today. I'm Betty, and this is James.
And we have a non-Dallas Cowboy football player. And really, well, you pray for the Cowboys sometimes. Just a little mercy would you pray for them, you know. It's they were America's team. Now we don't even know if they're Dallas's team anymore. Here is Tim Brown, who won the Heisman Trophy at Notre Dame, 9 Pro Bowls, played for Oakland. I don't know how we did playing them back then. He probably intercepted everything we threw. He would today. He'd intercepted all of them. But he's just a wonderful person. And I want to show you this. The making of a man. How men and boys honor God and live with integrity. And by the way, I know some of his friends and people he kind of hangs out with, and for a long time they've been telling me about the witness and impact of Tim. His wife, Charisse, is here, and she is a beautiful person. I just told him a while ago that God really looked out for him and for me. And you'll see that when you meet his wife. But this is a great story. Now, he didn't start out with everything right. He was a typical great athlete, winning all these honors. But he had a head-on encounter that changed everything and actually probably was one of the reasons that he's married to the beautiful woman he's married to and that they have 4 beautiful children. Would you welcome Tim and Charisse Brown to Life Today? Thank you. Tim, Charisse. Well, I'm really glad to have you here.
Thank you.
And you did good. You just did really good. And I did really good. How long y'all been married?
Going on 17 years now.
17. Imagine us 51 years.
That's unbelievable.
Well, it is. It's a miracle.
Pray for us.
Well, I believe you'll be there.
Yes, you will.
I want
yes,
you to
will.
Tell why you wrote the book, which I hope everybody will get. Matter of fact, I'll just tell you what. We'll actually send it to you because it's going to inspire you, but it's going to be something you probably want to put in the hands of maybe a young athlete or an aspiring athlete, boy or girl, and it's just going to be a treasure. Tell us about the story.
Since I retired the last 10 years, you know, going and flying around and all these airports, you know, people always coming up to me saying, oh, man, I really enjoyed how you handled yourself off the field. And not so much about what I did on the field, but people talked a lot about how I handled myself off the field. And I thought people should know the whole story because it wasn't by chance that I was the man that I was off the football field. It was because of my relationship with God that I handled myself a certain way. So I felt that that was important. You know, I know so many of my friends and so many people, men who are losing in marriage and losing in life because they're trying to do it themselves. And I was like that one day myself. You know, I was in my mid-20s. I'm in California. Things are going well. Close your ears, wife. I have all these beautiful women, you know. Things are going great. But in the midst of all that,
By the way, athletes attract women in an indescribable fashion.
Yes.
I mean, it's almost looks nonsensical.
Yes.
And the most foolish thing, the way they literally will throw themselves at an athlete. He doesn't necessarily even have to be a great star athlete.
You don't have to be good looking.
You don't even have to be good looking. You're just an athlete.
Right, right. Yes. You know, and that was the thing, you know, being in California where you have so many, you know, all the actresses, all the people who want to be, you have the Raiderettes. I mean, you have, you know, they call them females, fabulous, football fabulous females, you know. So you have all these, you know, you're in the midst of all that. And growing up here in Dallas, born and raised in Church of God in Christ, you know, I was taught how to live and how to do things right. But the further I got away from Dallas, seems like the further I got away from God. But in my mid-20s, I got to the point literally where I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror. I mean, I shaved and I did everything in the dark because I couldn't look at the man that I was at that particular time. And I knew that I needed to make a change. And it was difficult because in the middle of a locker room, especially a Raiders locker room, now, you know, you have the Cowboys, now the Raiders are something totally different. You know, they're known as the bad boys of the NFL, so we had a lot going on. But to be able to stand up in that locker room and say, hey, the man that I was yesterday, I'm not that man anymore, was a pretty big deal. And it took a while. It took a while before people bought in to me really changing. But after I did, I mean, after they did buy in, then you realize, you know, people come whispering to you, hey, man, what is this God thing? What's going on here? You know, because, you know, what we were doing a year and a half ago, you know, you're not doing those same things with me anymore.
Now, how did she get in the picture?
Well, I had a great friend, and at this particular point, I call him an angel from God, Chester McLaughlin. He passed away 3 years ago at the age of 42, died in his sleep. And he had been trying to introduce me to her for about a year and a half. And I kept telling him, man, look, you know, he kept saying, man, she's a nice girl. Now, look, in the locker room, we have nice girls, and we have... So I was like, look, dude, I'm not trying to go there with you. And he kept telling me, you know, hey, look, you know, you need to get with her. You need to call her. And I said, Chester, why would you do your boy like that? I thought we were boys. So long story short, he got married, and he had me sitting at the table with her.
She was a part of the wedding party?
No.
He's kind of fast-forwarding, but go ahead.
She wanted to tell this story. I went to the bar, and I was ordering the cranberry and orange juice.
I turned around
and asked the young lady, was she like, she just happened to be by me at that time. You
and
know?
I turned around and asked him, I was with several other girlfriends, and I said, would you like for us to order with you? Because he was by himself. Order your drink, and he says, sure, what do you have? And so I told him that, you know, I didn't drink, but I would order him a cranberry and orange juice, what I was drinking. I turned around and politely gave it back, and then...
Now you continue
with your story.
This story, it just stretches out over the years. It's amazing.
Because you remember Chester played for the Oakland Raiders as well, and he was a football player. There were several athletes there. He said, there's no possible way I did not know who he was because he was Tim Brown. I was like, okay. Who is Tim Brown?
I did say that. No, she said she came to a Raiders game and didn't know who Tim Brown was.
I was like,
baby, you know, come on.
I really didn't.
Anyway.
I have Milani Ismail, Rocket Ismail's wife, who sat right next to me, and we talked about the Lord pretty much the entire game. He does not believe that we weren't paying attention to him.
I mean, that's just how we think, right, Jay?
Yeah, you know, but now, when you met her, had you already had that encounter in the locker room with God?
Yes, I had. It's just so amazing. Charisse, and I'll let her tell her story, but I had just got saved 2 weeks prior to meeting her. And it was just amazing because I was about to turn 30 years old at the time, and it was just time for me to do something different. And 2 weeks later, I meet her, and I tell her, you know, because, you know, she's all this going on, and you know, so I tell her.
She was a really nice girl, right?
She was a really nice girl, but I say, look, hey, if I'd have met you 2 weeks prior, we would have had a different game going on here.
You know, this would have.
You go play a new game.
That's right.
But I think Charisse should tell, because what was fascinating to me is at the same time I was going through what I was going through, she was going through.
Yeah, I attended West Angeles Church of God in Christ in Los Angeles. And there was an author by the name of P.B. Bunny Wilson who had a book called Knight in Shining Armor. And I got that book, I read it, and it was an amazing book. And it told you to write down the qualities of, you know, of a husband. But it said you're going to go into construction and you're going to only date God for 90 days. So I went in full. But it said, the book said, by the time you finish this book, you would have met your knight in shining armor.
That's right.
So fast forward there, I met Tim within that two-week period that he's speaking of. Well, there was a graduation. So if you had completed it, they wanted you to come and be a part of the ceremony. I actually invited Tim to attend church with me, and he came, and I was able to stand up with him sitting next to me.
Tim, the book, what do you want people to hear?
I am hoping here that the 15 and 16-year-olds that, you know, when I started my journey doing the wrong thing, I'm 47 years old as we sit here right now, and I know men who are older who are still struggling, and everybody in between. What you're trying to get them, what I'm trying to get them to see in this book is the only way that you can live a life of integrity is to live a life for God. Yeah. It's just the only way. And we try, we're smart, we're educated, we got some money, we have this, so we think that we have it all. But in actuality, we don't have anything unless we have God in our life. And I want people to realize that. I want the brother in the hood to realize that. And I want the biggest rapper in America to understand that if you're not doing what you're doing for God, then you're wasting your talents. And that's just bottom line. That's not Tim Brown speaking. That's the word. That's what the Bible says. So I think from that standpoint, you know, we're trying to reach everybody with this book. We want men to be accountable, to be responsible. I had a situation. My son Taylor, 25. You know, Taylor, Teresa is not his mom. But it was a situation where I could have turned my back on Taylor. And I could have said, hey, I'll send you money, I'll do this, I'll do that. But instead, I moved him from Newark, New Jersey at 6 months old to be with me here in Dallas. And he's a fine young man today. I mean,
yes, he is.
He is in nursing school at Baylor, and you know, he's doing well, you know. So
and what he's if, loved.
That's exactly what if I turned my back on him? Where would he have been? You know?
Sure.
But I think in that
well, you made a big mistake, but you corrected it with a great
exactly
big
right.
big outpouring of love
exactly
and
right.
personal responsibility.
That's exactly right. And that's and
don't you thank God for that? Do you not like that testimony alone? The whole story. But I've met Taylor and I didn't know that, but that's great. Mm-hmm. And praise God. You made a right decision. A lot of right decisions need to be made. What do you think about when you're watching what God's doing in his life and what you're seeing together and his level of influence?
You know what? I it's amazing because I've seen in Tim for so many years probably what others did not see. And such an amazing man of God. So I was so impressed by the title. Because I've always told him, you could just reach multitudes of people just expressing and sharing everything that he's experienced and how God has just blessed him tremendously. You can see it all in his life. Everything that he does, it's always to either, you know, better someone's health or, you know, he's a giver. So his heart is just huge. He is just a giver. And that's what I love about him is that...
And he's not giving to get.
No,
he's giving to give.
Exactly.
There's such a big, big difference. The world
exactly.
will teach you to give to get.
Yes.
And God teaches you to give, the joy of giving.
Definitely, mm-hmm. definitely. I think I asked him early in our marriage, I said, Tim, why are these guys not faithful to their wives? And he said, Charisse, they have to have the conviction of the Holy Ghost. He said, and if you don't have something that you are praying to and you know, you don't have, if you're not asking and you're not in that word, he said, they're not going to be faithful to their wives. It's not that they don't love their wives.
Right.
He said, but he loved, what did you tell me?
I told her before we got married, I said, look, if you ever see me doing something that's outside the will of God, now I'm not perfect, but if you see me doing something that you know is outside, leave. Don't ask any questions.
Just leave.
Just leave. Because yeah. if you're seeing something, it's probably about 20 things you're not seeing. Yeah. You know, so don't let me talk you into just leave. Because, you know, because I wanted to be accountable to her. I'm obviously accountable to God. I'm accountable to my family. But, you know, it's such a big deal if you can say to somebody out loud, this is how I am, and I need you to hold me accountable. Mm-hmm. So if something goes wrong, you can't come back 5 years. Well, you remember what you did or
right.
whatever. You know.
Right.
Now you know exactly where we stand, and you just move
but
on.
But I have an idea. If you did stumble, she'd be all over picking you up.
Absolutely.
Because
definitely.
She's full
Absolutely.
Of love. Betty, you want to say something to this couple? Because I know you're captivated by that beautiful
love story. One thing I think is beautiful, too, is that in your testimony, you're saying you can have all the success.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of people that do yes. in sports and business, whatever. Mm-hmm. But those things, mm-hmm. you think, oh, if I just had this or had
right.
that.
Right.
Maybe for a short time, right. it satisfies. But that satisfaction doesn't last
that's
without
exactly.
that relationship with God.
And Betty, you bring up something that's really important. I'm 33, 34 years old. And I'm at the point in my career where people are saying, oh man, you're gonna be in the Hall of Fame. You have Hall of Fame numbers. Mm-hmm. And you know, you hear that a couple of times, James. You said, you know, I'm gonna be in the Hall of Fame when I'm done. You know?
You told her, boy, you should have known all this.
You know, but it was amazing. I can feel myself getting a little full of that. And in prayer one night, God said to me just as clear as day, I don't have you here to make it in the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
I have you here on this platform so you may be able to attract men. Mm. And you know, I got a boxing. I want to be in the Hall of Fame. You know, I want to be in the Hall of Fame. But, you know, but it really sunk in that all the success I was having, because my last 4 or 5 years in the NFL, after that point, I was able to, you know, you have 21-year-old kids coming into the NFL now, coming into the league. You know, I was 36, 37, 38 years old. Right. So now they're able to see a veteran guy who is playing at a high level who is living for God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's something that they don't see on a regular basis.
Sure.
And at the same time, I was able Praise to tell God. Them that, hey, let me tell you about how I started out. And they heard some of the stories. They was like, no, Tim, not you. Yes, me. Mm-hmm. But by the grace of God, here I am now.
Sure, and that's what the story is about. I want you to get the book. It is in the bookstores. You can go online and get it. And can you briefly, you talk about relationship with your dad. We only got a couple mm-hmm. of minutes left, but tell us about what's the significance of that.
Well, my dad, at age 13, we had a little incident where he came in a little intoxicated and thought that I was coming after him and threatened to kill me. And you know, it scared me. I mean, my dad had a pretty good relationship up until that point. And sort of skipping forward a little bit, for the next 12 years, we really didn't have a relationship. It was take the trash out, do this, do that, but it wasn't a relationship. And I graduate high school. I get a scholarship to Notre Dame. I graduate Notre Dame, win the Heisman Trophy, first round pick in the league, make 2 Pro Bowls. And I still don't have everything I'm doing. I'm thinking, this is going to be the thing that brings him in. This is going to be the thing. And finally, at some point, you know, it was revealed to me that your dad is doing the best he can do. Not that he should be doing, but he can do. And with that, I went to him and said, hey, man, you know, what happened 12 years ago is over. I forgive you. I need for you to forgive me. And I need for you to be in my life. And, you know, my dad was not a man of many words, so he... Okay is about all I got out of him. But so for the next 20 years until he passed away in 2011, I mean, we had a great relationship. But the worst night of my life, because what I didn't say is when I thought my dad was going out to the car to get a gun, I was in the corner, you know, after I woke my mom up at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I said to myself, well, if alcohol would make you want to kill your son, I'm never going to touch alcohol. Mm. And I've never had a drink of alcohol. But it was because of that horrific night. But I think about all the opportunities I had. You know, I tell people Notre Dame is a Catholic university, but they drink a lot up there. You know, it wasn't a bottle of wine or a keg of beer. You know, every place you go, you have, you know. But I was able to pass on all that because of what happened to me when I was 13. I get out to California, you know, when I'm hanging out with Eddie Murphy and all these people, and I can't even spell the liquor that's going by my head, but I'm able to pass on that. But it was all because of that horrific night that probably turned out to be the best.
Could have
best
kept
thing
you from
happened.
Being a horrible Absolutely. Addict because of that compulsivity
That's
can
exactly
sometimes
right.
capture you. The story is great. Again, say thanks to God and thanks to this beautiful couple. I do encourage you to go online and get the book, The Making of a Man. As a matter of fact, you may just want to get several copies for young athletes or college athletes, pro athletes. Get it out. I want to show you something, Tim, that's going to, I know, touch you and Cerise's heart and all of our viewers. And I'll just tell you this. If you will do what Jesus said do, if you'll just give a cup of water mm-hmm. in his name, I'll say thank you by sending you this thank you and a little book for children and then a book Betty put together with 32 incredible stories from truly anointed women called Women at the Well. But I want you to see the need for clean water. And I want you to listen up. Watch.
Mothers find pleasure in teaching their children life skills, preparing them for the day when they will have children of their own, and dreaming of a bright future for them. But for literally millions of mothers throughout the world, mothers like Maria This pleasure gives way to the pain of knowing they have no other choice but to give their children water from contaminated sources.
Even as we speak right now, Levy is sick. He has diarrhea, he has vomiting, and his mom's telling us that he can't even eat. And it's because of water like this that these children are drinking that are contaminating their bodies and causing disease and sickness.
Maria always hopes the best for little Levy. She wants to see him grow up happy and healthy, but her dreams will be crushed as long as she has no other choice but to give him contaminated water that constantly makes him sick.
I said, Maria, is there ever a time when you've prayed and asked God for a miracle for fresh water? And she said that every year is another year where they continue to pray that they would be able to have good drinking water. We need to provide good, clean water for this family and many families in this village. We need to make a difference today.
That is a very moving story to me for more than one reason. John Hernandez there, we've been working with him in Mission Outreach for more than 20 years. We started more than 20 years ago with him in Miami with street children. Incredible. And then we watched him end up in the mission fields of the world and how reaching out in Bolivia and other areas to children. Some of the things that have happened with John and with the outreach to children has made as great an impact on our grandchildren as anything we've ever done. And some of them have been around the world, so to speak, to see what's there. And that really blesses us. But everything that's happened with John and him coming to us, why do you think he's talking to us? Well, 20 years we've been helping him be the answer to people's prayers and needs. And it wasn't just me and Betty. We just identify with legitimate hurt, and we know the answer. It's the love of God through his people who will literally extend his hands. So what John was talking about there is so important because that mother represents thousands of mothers. Now think about this. In 20 countries right now, with your help, we're going to drill 500 fresh water wells. We're about halfway there already. But we need to complete it because we don't want to miss the mark. We pray every year, God, let us go beyond. Last year, we went beyond a little, beyond the 500. We can do that, but here's how we do it. If every person watching, I want you just to kind of zero in. Let me just talk to you, just me and you here for a second. Honey, can you mind me just?
Go ahead.
She's over here saying, go on. Listen to me. If you would just say, I will do my part expressing God's heart. $4,800 is the cost of a well. Many people tell us they have no greater joy in an entire year than to be able to give a well. We've had people that said, I prayed for years to be able to do that, and I finally could give a well. And then they would often write back two or three years later, so now I've been able to give one now every year. So I'm asking if you can give a well, as a couple, as an individual, as a church. Thank God children have even gone to their friends and neighbors and family and said, let's drill a well. As young as 4 years old, and they got a well. So everybody can have a part. But here's the way we normally reach it. If you give a part of a well, let's just say of the 4,800, you give 1,200 and pray, God, raise up three more. We got a well. 2,400, God, match this. And another joins you. We've got a well. But most of the support comes from people who give $48. And when you break it down, that gives 10 people water for life. Give 30 people water for life with a $144 gift. There is a level at which you can say, I'm going to give more than a cup of water. I'm going to help give a well of water. And Jesus said, you just give a cup, you won't lose your reward. And I have an idea. Most of the reward is what that love does for others, not what comes back to you. Just that joy is enough. Would you dial the number, take your bank card, and use it like a check? Go online, lifetoday.org. Many people are going there to do that. And if you ever call and get a busy, be determined, because there are people calling for prayer too. The majority of the calls will still be people, pray for me. You better believe we will. But would you be determined to get through to give water, please? We have some very special gifts for you. One of the little books that I'm really excited about, not only the women at the well, wonderful women's stories, including our two daughters, one who is in heaven. Hear about her wonderful job she had while on this earth. And then this, Children at the Well. This is a touchy-feely book for children that talks about the joy of giving. It is just absolutely beautiful. and the beautiful glass sculpture to say thank you, and the journal, the life journal. This has been transforming in your life, Betty, to journal with God. Right. And your journal ministers to me continually. So you start one. We want to say thank you. We want to bless you. Please, please, take that bank card and use it like a check. Again, if you write a check, make it to life, because that's what you're giving. Thank you so much for doing it. From the bottom of our hearts, we say thank you in behalf of the people whose prayers you're going to be an answer to.
Every day, children of all ages are forced to make a dreadful choice: drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most effective, life-saving demonstrations of God's love you could ever be a part of. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, you can help establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages, impacting over 20 nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request the new Children at the Well interactive book to help your little ones understand the blessing of clean water, as well as the Women at the Well daily devotional with 32 refreshing devotionals for your quiet time. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this beautiful leather journal to help capture your personal times with God. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and you may request our commemorative sculptured glass statue, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
Betty and I want to say together thank you for your help. I also do want to mention that, you know, we've got the children's book we referenced and the Women at the Well, and of course the journal. But if you would like to have, if you'll help, just say we want to do our part in providing water. We will send you The Making of a Man as a gift that will bless you, and perhaps you'll pass it on. It might even become a way of giving somebody some spiritual water to drink by giving them this truth. Well, join with Betty and me, and let's just say thanks to Tim and Cherise for being such a blessing to us. You're a beautiful couple. I love you, buddy.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank all of you for being here. From the bottom of our heart, in behalf of everybody, you give fresh water to us. Thank you. God bless you. Tim Conway, if you're watching, but you've just been bested. I'll tell you.
Comedian Shonda Pierce, tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.